I felt while he was speaking, I felt that he was explaining Israel's situation.
This is a new game for the American policymakers. It is true that they recognize a Palestinian state, but not necessarily on 1967 borders. Therefore, I prefer that we rather be kept under occupation. For peace cannot be achieved without a balance of power, or at least, we should maintain some sort of power.
We are not only demanding the return to 1967 borders, but we also demand the return to 1948 lands. This can be maintained through the cooperation of world countries supporting us and by means of our Palestinian unity and brotherhood.
Obama's speech ignored the matter of settlement. Israel keeps widening their settlements while we are asking to stop the settlements. They keep constructing and constructing, and no one turns an eye to that issue. They keep putting pressures on the Palestinian government to admit the right of Israel to exist in the Middle East as an independent state on the Palestinian land.
As we see in the first speech for Obama when he was, for his first speech when he won the elections, he said that he will be a Democrat, democratic president, and he will help poor. Actually, I saw the opposite side of this. He never stepped to stop this Israeli actions in Gaza or in the West Bank. For example, he gave the veto for Israel when the other countries called for freezing the settlements.
Obama's speech was really
some
unjust
civil rights leaders.
Because he forgets our right as a Palestinian to live in our land. Palestine is our land, and they forgot our 1948 borders. Then talk about the 1967 borders, and that's our right to live in our land. And he don't have the right to ignore that or to deny that. That's my opinion.
You just heard engineer Ahmed Al-Khaldi, freelance translator Yusuf Gabin, Palestinian Authority worker Ahmad Hamad, historical studies graduate Marwan Tafesh, and university students Ala Hassan, Reem El-Waidi, and Wala Mahdi. That segment was recorded and produced by Rami Al-Maghari. And that's the program for today. The newscast was produced by Catherine Comp. Thanks for listening. In San Francisco, I'm Danny Wood.
You're tuned to WBAI in New York, listener-sponsored radio, and WBAI.org on the World Wide Web. Time is 7 p.m., and we'll be hearing in almost immediately Dr. Majid Ali. Please stay tuned.
Welcome to Science, Health, and healing. We have 2 hours. We are going to talk about 2 extremely common problems, especially for people
who have been chronically unwell and they are supposed to be
diagnostic mysteries. They are diagnostic mysteries because the right tests are not done, and they continue to be treated with more and more drugs. There's anxiety, there's problems of sleep, restlessness, tiredness, exhaustion. Now, these are not the tests that ordinary chemistry test can reveal the problem. Today we are going to talk about problems of Hashimoto's disease of the thyroid gland and adrenal deficits. The adrenal glands support the total system. We were taught that adrenal glands are the fight or flight response organs, that they deal with stress. That's true. But there's a whole lot more to it. They're just saying that adrenal glands are involved with the stress reaction. I think anybody who is chronically unwell should have adrenal tests done. Anybody who's chronically unwell should have the proper thyroid test done. And you think in terms of detection and support. You don't think in terms of diagnosis. Take it from me, you are not going to get any place as long as your focus is on diagnosis. We need to shift the focus from detection to diagnosis. When Dr. Hashimoto's described, the Japanese physician, when he described Hashimoto's disease, it's almost 100 years when he did, a few years less than that, to be precise. He made a major advance because he described that thyroid was inflamed. There was a peculiar type of immune cell called plasma cells. And he demonstrated that this is a bipolar disorder. In the initial stages, there's a hyperactivity, which means there's more anxiety. There may be episodes of rapid heartbeat, palpitations, skipped heartbeats, loss of weight, temperature dysregulation, excessive thirst, loss of hair. And then as the disease progresses and the immune injury to the thyroid gland deepens, eventually the gland gets burnt out. And the second phase of this bipolar reaction, hypothyroidism, underactivity, begins. There is such an overlap between signs and symptoms of overactivity of the thyroid gland and the underactivity that one really cannot, especially during the period of transition of this bipolar disorder from overactivity phase to underactivity, you cannot go by clinical features. So, I just had a little, I guess I need a little water and I will. So I say that stay focused on detection. Don't worry too much about the diagnosis. Perhaps the commonest mistake that I see in the treatment of thyroid disorders, and just bear with me, I'll get a little water. And I'll be back functional. So the commonest problem that I see with the thyroid gland is that the principal nutrient of this gland, iodine, is not tested for nor addressed. I found it ironic many years ago when I looked into these issues clinically. I started diagnosing Hashimoto disease of the thyroid gland back in 1968 when I began my work as a pathology resident. We, of course, were taught that iodine is the principal nutrient of the thyroid gland. But we were into pathology, study of diseases. But I do remember now, when I look back, that I never heard an endocrinologist in his lecture on the thyroid diseases talk about iodine or present any data. Usually there was a precursory comment that iodine is used to synthesize thyroid hormones, T1, T2, T3, and T4. T3 is the most active gland. T3 stands for triiodothyronine. T4 is the mature hormone which is released into the circulation. In peripheral tissues, it is broken down to its active form, T3. So the doctors who use thyroxine, Synthroid, Levothyroid, these are the synthetic forms of T4. Cytomel would be the name, brand name for T3 preparations. So there are a couple of important messages in this program on the thyroid gland. Please shift the focus from diagnosis to detection. Please do not ignore the iodine status. I have very rarely, if ever, taken care of a patient with thyroid gland who brought me the results of iodine test. The best way to test for iodine is a 24-hour urinary sample. We send our samples to Mayo Clinic Laboratory. That's actually pretty good. A good value in 24-hour urinary excretion should be between 200 to 300 micrograms. If you are deficient in iodine, it doesn't matter how many endocrinologists you see. It doesn't matter how you keep adjusting the dose downwards or upwards. It doesn't matter whether you take natural thyroid like Armour or Nature Thyroid, or you take synthetic preparations. It's not going to work. So many times, when you give a small amount of iodine, as Liugol's iodine, usually I prescribe 3 drops. Here's an important clinical pearl. You should always take iodine, 3 drops, in 3 ounces of water. If you go on internet, you will find out that thyroid, either as tablet, iodorol, I think it's called, or Liugol's iodine, which is a potassium iodide iodine mixture, it can cause esophageal irritation or gastritis. I have never once seen that as long as you take your 3 drops of iodine with 3 ounces of water. Sydney, thanks for the water. thanks for my... I was rushing in. I was a little late, held by the traffic on the west side. So thank you. So as long as you take iodine with ample water, you will not have any problems with gastritis or esophageal irritation. I'm focusing on it because I've seen so many failures. So many people are frustrated because they keep adjusting the dose and they don't settle into. Now here's a good piece of news, that I look at the natural thyroid as a supplement, just as I look at iodine as a supplement. I would not use iodine blindly for too long. 4 or 6 weeks, if you want to do on your own, be your own primary physician. You cannot make yourself iodine toxic if you blindly take up to 3 drops a day for a month or so. But you might find it interesting that in my own personal files, usually people fall into groups. Those people who have been aware holistically and they've been using kelp or iodine or seafoods on their own usually will show me very high levels of iodine, 600, 700, 800, sometimes 2000. That is iodine toxicity. And then the other group, the iodine may be 10, 15, 20, and I just told you a good range would be between 200 and 300. So on your own, blindly without laboratory test. If you want to take iodine for 4 or 6 weeks, that's okay, but please don't do it for extended periods of time. The other common reason why I've seen frustration with thyroid, I'm going to present thyroid for about an hour and then we are going to shift and talk about adrenal gland, but I really would like to present an integrated view. And I hope that those people who have been so-called diagnostic puzzles or mysterious disorders, people with chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, myalgia, polyarthralgia, people who were in pretty good health but after chemotherapy for cancer lost their health and have been chronically unwell. They need to look into both issues of thyroid and adrenal glands. I look at the thyroid gland as, let's take the adrenal. I look at the adrenal gland as the immediate response organ developed by evolution. In immediate response mode, adrenaline, noradrenaline, cousin catecholamine substances. Adrenal gland is really two glands in one. So the central portion called medulla produces adrenaline, noradrenaline, catecholamines, and the peripheral overlying portion produces cortisol, cortisone. Adrenal gland produces about 51 steroids. So these hormones are involved in regulation of blood volume, fluid, potentiation of all neurotransmitters, nerve muscle conduction, the gastrointestinal motility, regulation of cardiac rhythms. So in the integrative model, you look at the adrenal gland as an immediate response organ with widespread responsibilities throughout the body. You can look at in this model the thyroid gland as a sustained response organ, and the primary reason in my view that there is a pandemic of thyroid disorders is there is so much stress that the adrenal gland becomes weak and the body recruits the thyroid gland as a surrogate adrenal. This is not something that you would find in textbooks, nor something that I've ever heard an endocrinologist talk about it. This is something what my patients have taught me. I want to welcome Kathy Davis, our own Kathy Davis, to Science, Health, and Healing. This is your host, Majid Ali. Kathy, welcome.
Well, thank you, and thank you for coming in this evening and talking to our listeners. It's one of those things where not everyone has an opportunity to tune in during your regular time slots, which are Tuesday and Wednesday at 11 p.m. And, you know, it's like you have such a remarkable resource that you bring to WBAI that we want to give everyone a chance to make that phone call, 212-209-2950. And we're featuring two DVDs at this moment. One is Hashimoto, and the other is a DVD on adrenals. And you can choose either one of those DVDs for your $95 pledge. And you'll do that by calling 212-209-2950. And you can, of course, pledge for them both because, as I heard you talking, there's all these interrelationships between people's health and they might not quite understand everything that leads up to the challenge that they're facing. And that's one of the beautiful things about this program, Science, Health, and Healing, because those are the three aspects that Dr. Ali shares with you. There's the science and the research that he does, and certainly the history that he brings to the table is remarkable. I came in without your resume, but I'll bring it back later to let people know. And
Why don't I tell them?
Yeah, you could tell them. Yes.
I've been a student of medicine for 53 years. Mm-hmm. And what I say to our regular listeners, which has really dominated my thinking, that about 25 years ago, when I looked into this integrative model, I was a surgeon and then a pathologist, And I remember I made a decision that I wanted at this stage to never, never, never in medicine accept anyone as my teacher, except my patients. And by that time, I had been on the faculty of Columbia University. We had published several books. We published, something that I have never told WBI listeners. I accidentally found out an article published in the Journal of American Medical Association. They reviewed our journal, Journal of Integrative Medicine. And to my great surprise, it was very complimentary. Mm-hmm. Okay, they adopted my definition of integrative medicine. And interestingly, they included a quote where I said that in chronic disease, the double-blind, crossed-over, controlled method of testing is the principal folly of 20th century medicine.
And they accepted that.
What they did was they took my direct quote. Of course, they're not, you know, they were very respectful, and I'm respectful to them for that. But what they did was, it must have impressed them, the reviewers. There were two people who wrote the review, and they gave 2 pages of JAMA to reviewing our journal. So I thought that was very gracious. But there was that one sentence, which I wrote in one of the editorials, must have impressed me that this guy's axe is falling on our roots. He's challenging our most sacred cows, which in American medicine has been that if you don't double-blind and crossover, that's not scientific. This is utter nonsense. So I thought it interesting that they picked up on that, and they picked up on my definition. And they were very complimentary. They said, Dr. Ali is very, what is the word that they used? He's very articulate in making his point. Mm-hmm. But there's something else interesting in that. And then we'll come to Premier. People, WBA listeners are very shrewd, insightful, thoughtful people. They'll probably appreciate this. So as I'm reading this, and I was reading fast, and I said, there's got to be a kick here for me. I mean, JAMA would not devote 2 pages reviewing our journal and not come back and challenge or say something unpleasant. There was one pleasantry after another pleasantry. So then at one point they started comparing our journal, which is the Journal of Integrative Medicine, with there was another journal that was called Integrative Medicine. The author of that at that time was Andrew Weil. This is going back. They reviewed it in 2000, 11 years ago. So they start the review by saying that Dr. Andrew Weil is the editor of the journal Integrative Medicine and Majid Ali is the editor of the Journal of Integrative Medicine. But after that, Dr. Andrew Weil disappears from the scene, and they keep quoting me, which I thought was interesting. But I was looking for where they are going to come back, and they are going to sort of put me down. Mm-hmm. Okay? And this is how they did it. They said that our journal, Journal of Integrative Medicine, is heavily focused on publishing our own original data. So we were not picking up study here, study there, and making articles. We were rather presenting our own data, and we were citing other people's studies wherever our data either supported them or challenged them. And then at one point he said, the reviewer said, however, the journal, the readers of Integrative Medicine, which is Andrew Weil's journal, I don't know whether he's editing it now or not, but the readers of JAMA would find it more agreeable to read the Journal of Integrative Medicine. And I thought that's interesting because they don't realize, but that's a big compliment to me. They were trying to say that JAMA readers would find it more format is okay, but in reality, those people don't challenge the use of bypass surgery or stents or chemotherapy where it's not helpful. Mm-hmm. Chemotherapy is helpful in some areas, but in many areas it isn't. So that journal was not questioning the foundation of this model that you have to drug people one at a time or two at a time with mice or medical students, and then you draw long-term conclusions, and then you're going to put people, 6 or 7 people, on a drug. Kathy, would people... our people know, but generally, our people, I mean WBI listenership, but generally in America, people don't realize that when you evaluate a single drug with double-blind crossover model, and you do it for 3 months or 6 months, you should say that our conclusions are relevant if you take this drug one at a time for a period of 6 months. Mm-hmm. But when you combine it with five other drugs, to say it's a scientific method is nonsense. It is unadulterated nonsense. So when JAMA people were reviewing our journals, I could tell their stress that they keep saying nice things, but they somehow want to find a way to say, hey, your substance is wrong. You may be good, glib with your words, but your substance is lacking. And so they said, well, the other journal is good because they are more conformative to the to the prevailing model. But we have to get some calls.
That's right. Excuse me. The number is 212-209-2950. And we have a few calls that have come in, it looks
Thank you.
We're just sort of getting that first inch. $365, so that's one or two, maybe three or four pledges. But we need for you to join that caller right now, those callers, at 212-209-2950 and receive a DVD. You could either take the DVD on adrenals for a $95 pledge or the DVD on Hashimoto for a $95 pledge, or by all means, you can pledge for them both. But we need for you to call. Remember, we can accept MasterCard, Visa, American Express. You can make a pledge and use the electronic funds transfer system. You can breaking them up into installments. You can ask for an invoice and send a check once you've gotten that invoice. Many, many ways to show your support for WBAI. But we need you to make that call, 212-209-2950. Dr. Ali, maybe we should let people know, because, you know, there's a lot of listeners here who don't really know about the work and the depth of your work. How can they use these DVDs to help them? You know, what I always say, it's like having a doctor's visit in your home, and you get the full explanation of the condition and what you can do about it. But for people who are suffering from Hashimoto or adrenal failure or weakness in these areas, how can these DVDs help them?
I want to answer your question by taking example of one specific, what I would call it, clinical pearl, which is my term for something very specific that people can understand and put to use and test it out and see the benefits. If you don't, you probably already know. But if you have ever been told that you have a thyroid problem, whether it is Hashimoto's or thyroiditis or lymphocytic thyroiditis, or there is a nodule on the thyroid gland, or you have any of the symptoms that you go on internet, the word that you, the letters that you already know, if you don't, you really must know that, is something called TSH. TSH stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. It's a hormone produced by the pituitary, which regulates the behavior and the function of the thyroid gland itself. Now, here is an important clinical pearl. This is the type of thing that they would get from DVD, which I have not heard really emphasized in all my listening to various programs or reading. Please learn to interpret this test yourself. The laboratory range is pretty large, broad, from 0.5 to 4.5 units. But here is the clinical pearl, and this is what they will learn from DVD. But I want other listeners to see that too. Mm-hmm. Suppose your health was very good. Let's say you are a 21-year-old woman. Your menstrual cycle is good. Your health is good. Your sleep is good. And without any apparent reason, over a period of months, you're losing ground. You may be gaining some weight. Your digestion is slow. You might have some bloating. Your skin loses its normal luster and texture, pliability. Now, at that time, you go to the doctor. He does the thyroid. The TSH test usually is included as a part of regular chemistry. He tells you it's okay. But that's a disastrous mistake if you don't learn this, because that's a very misleading statement. Suppose your test was, let's say it was 1 before you started losing your health, At the end of 6 months, when you know something is wrong, it is 2. Now, I would compare the two values, and I would say, okay, pituitary was functioning all right, and the value was 1, because pituitary had no reason to overdrive the thyroid, because the thyroid was functioning well. Now, from 1 unit, when you go to 2 units, it means that the pituitary is working overtime, and it's trying to overdrive the thyroid to compensate for it. I would trend it. Now I gave a small amount of natural thyroid. I would test for iodine. These are the clinical pearls that they're going to find in the DVD, and I cite exact cases. I'll give them the exact numbers. Let's say now that we decided not to give iodine because iodine is okay on the test. And I said, okay, I don't have a strong clinical sense. Let's focus on the bowel and the liver, and we are not going to really do something for the thyroid. Now I repeat the thyroid test, and 3 months later, now it is 3. That's absolutely unequivocal laboratory evidence that thyroid is underactive, because it moved from normal of 1 to 2, and then within 3 months, it went to 3. Now I illustrated this case in the DVD. There was a patient who came to me, and she said, my endocrinologist is on the staff of NYU. And she smiled and she said, 3 times you put me on thyroid, and 3 times he said your laboratory tests are normal, and he took me off. And I'm a curious person. I consider myself intelligent. He's an endocrinologist at NYU, and I know you're a pathologist, but you're not an endocrinologist. Can you help me understand? I said, first you answer a simple question. Did you feel better on a small amount of natural thyroid that I was giving you, or did you feel better during the months that your endocrinologist took you off it? And she smiled and she says, why would I be back here for the 4th time if I wasn't feeling well on that small amount of natural thyroid? I said, that's the answer. I made a clinical judgment because of the total context, and I thought a small amount of natural thyroid, I'm supporting your thyroid, I'm not treating diseases, I'm caring for you as a whole person. And she smiled and she said, but could you help me understand a little bit? And I wanted to explain to her this TSH, what I am explaining here to our listeners, and it's on DVD. And as I was explaining, I suddenly realized, please don't forget that we are in a fund drive. The number is 212-209-2950. I love to tell you these stories. They are actual stories. But you have to do your part. We do our part. And the number, the tally has to really keep climbing up. So we are happy and you are happy. Listen, I'm telling you something terribly important. If you're chronically not well, you need to understand this. You got to be your own primary physician for this. So anyway, on an instinct, I called one of our young physicians and I said, go over this whole chart and make a graph for me on her TSH. Because I said that there is a good chance that my clinical sense was corroborated by the laboratory test. And sure enough, when we looked at this, each time she would come to me, I would give her thyroid, the TSH would come down, she feels better. Each time she would go there. This happened, I think, over a period of a year and a half of 2 years. And he would take her off, and the TSH would go up. But what was interesting, Kathy,
thyroid hormone?
Yeah, thyroid stimulating hormone.
Stimulating hormone. So that's an indicator within the body.
Yes, but that hormone is produced by pituitary. Pituitary regulates the functions of the thyroid. Pituitary is located in the brain, and thyroid, of course, is located in the neck. The main point of that was that when you trended the TSH test, the results were unequivocal. I gave her the graph, and I said, if you show it to your endocrinologist at NYU, I am certain that he would not disagree with me. Doctors don't trend the results, and that's where the problem is. So when you want to look at the thyroid, especially if you think my case is puzzling to my doctors, you need to trend it. I was a young pathologist. I got appointed as a director of laboratories when I was almost a year and a half out of my own program. Some strange things happened, and that opened up. So One of the first things that I learned when I had the responsibility to run the laboratory was, because there were situations like that where doctors would come to me and they say, well, laboratory tests don't make any sense. And so I had to go deeper, and before I say my analyzers are wrong or the laboratory staff is making a mistake, I have to really find out whether the doctors are interpreting it right. So by default, I became a clinical pathologist, and those are some of the early things that I wrote about, that we must trend the results. The single values can get you into a lot of trouble. And so these are the things. I'm also on the DVD, I'm showing them graphs of how thyroid can affect cholesterol, for example. Here is something interesting. People would really like this. I believe that nobody should ever take cholesterol-lowering drugs like Lipitor, Zocor, Crestor, Provacol, without testing for thyroid. Let me make that statement. People should not take cholesterol-lowering drugs without checking their thyroid status. Now, people will say, well, this is very strange. We are listening to it for the first time. I'm going to tell our listeners now that this is exactly what FDA says. This is actually what the insert of statin, people don't really read the inserts. If they read the inserts of statin drugs, Lipitor, Crestor, right in the insert it says that have your thyroid gland checked. And I have seen sometimes a drop of 150 points in cholesterol when you take care of the thyroid. So now this is old knowledge. Incidentally, this is not new.
Mm-hmm.
I learned in 1958 that people who have underactive thyroid, they have high cholesterol levels. Now, how many times, let's be honest, how many times did you hear a commercial at CNN or Fox or an article in the New York Times or Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, Daily News? How many times have you read an article where people said, guys, before we take these statin drugs, let's check our thyroid. Because if thyroid is sluggish and my cholesterol is rising up, then I don't need to poison my liver by taking a drug for cholesterol. I should just take a little iodine. If necessary, take a little natural thyroid, bring the thyroid up. Now, can thyroid recover most of the time? Absolutely, yes. In fact, if you have a new case of Hashimoto's disease, since we are focusing on it, it is imperative that you plan on healing the gland. In the overactive initial stage, it's a bipolar disorder, as I said, it may be necessary for us to use a small amount of medication. Though herbs like lemon balm, hawthorn, passion flower, motherwort, these are the herbs that we use in the overactive phase of this bipolar disorder called Hashimoto's disease. What is the cause? The cause is toxic food, toxic thoughts, or toxic environment. You know, I can't say, I keep repeating these things like a robot because that is the truth. The genes, you know, they are getting angry for every disease and there are no treatments.
So I think this is true what you're saying about the toxins that we, you know, saturate ourselves with both emotionally, physically.
Right.
But the individual person might have a different vulnerability genetically, and
that's going to be what pops up
for them.
And that determines whether you get it in your adrenal gland or thyroid or pancreas or in your muscles or in your brain or in your heart. You made a very valid point. We are all unique people. And the uniqueness is because of our genes as well as our epigenes.
Mm-hmm.
Epigenes are those substances which regulate the behavior of genes. Genes are not all that what they're cracked up to be. Now, I know that roses don't grow on pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that cats don't deliver elephant babies. I know that. The point is, within certain defined limits, the genes would determine when the pressure builds up, who gets thyroid disease, who gets lupus, who gets fibromyalgia, who gets sarcoidosis. So the importance of this view is that it focuses on factors that we can modify, foods, environment, sorts. And it reduces the role of the factors which we cannot modify. Epigenes, we can modify.
Mm-hmm.
Genes, we are locked into. But in reality, genes also read each other. You know, these 26,000 odd genes that we have, they don't live independent existence, Kathy. They sense, one way to visualize this is that the word sun, S-U-N, the letter U doesn't particularly care that S is ahead of it and N is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But genes do. Genes do care what is the gene ahead of them and what's gene behind them in the pathways and what's to the left or what's above, what's below. So the genes silence some genes and they activate some other genes and they change the behavior of other genes. That's called gene expression. But the point is, when we focus on factors that we can modify, we empower ourselves. When we keep focusing on genes, we blame our parents and we disempower ourselves. So how about if you call us just on that idea? You want to empower yourself, you want to get deeper understanding, you say, okay, let me study this thyroid and adrenal in an integrated way.
Mm-hmm.
And let me show how he weaves this tapestry of thyroid and adrenal. And of course, then I link it to the larger plan where bowel, blood, and liver is the first trio, mm-hmm. thyroid, adrenal, pancreas is the second one, and the neurotransmitter hormone and skin, hair, eyes, that's the third one, and on top is the sunshine, which symbolizes our ethical spiritual equilibrium.
212-209-2950 is your number to call. This is really an amazing set of DVDs that you can pledge for, either both or you can choose one or the other. There's the DVD Hashimoto's disease, and that's dealing with the thyroid, and the DVD adrenal. And so this is a way for you to really have an understanding of your physical condition, to really have an understanding of your you know, it may not be you. It may be one of your mates. It may be someone who is in your family. But this is a way for you to have an impact from the ground level of understanding how these diseases work in your life, how these conditions work in your life, and how to understand how to change the ground, as it were, of your physical body by looking at the root of where these causes are and understanding how you can change it naturally. We need for you to make a phone call at 212-209-2950. And I know in this time slot, it's a technical time slot with Off the Hook and later with the Personal Computer Show. And I know that the people who generally tune in are very tuned into, you know, math and science and understanding technology. Well, the body is also can be understood as a technology. And by understanding how the basic pieces of the body, the basic parts of the body work, it allows you to heal oneself without the standard of, you know, just throwing in more pills, without without the attention. When you go to a doctor very often, you don't get that level of attention that gives you a deep understanding of what's happening inside of your body. And what Dr. Majid Ali is able to give you is a real sense of of understanding the technology of the body, of really understanding what is thyroid disease, what is Hashimoto's disease, how can we change that, how can we transform ourselves in a way that isn't going to add more threat and more disease into our lives as a consequence of side effects, and how we can monitor our health. And I know that if, you know, there are a lot of you who have, if it's not yourself with a health issue, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a grandparent, maybe you have some understanding of these sort of revolutionary health ideas. They're revolutionary because they go back to nature, and that's really important in understanding how to heal our lives. The number to call is 212-209-2950. There is not anyone on the line right now, and we're going to be offering this for a while longer. And if you have some issues with adrenal, and you know, a lot of people type A personality, people are going to end up with some kind of adrenal issue.
Oh, yes.
Because they're always pushing and pushing themselves. And this is a way of really understanding, you know, how to bring all that back into balance. Because once it does get out of balance, you get on a roller coaster. It's very, very difficult if you're not understanding what's happening in your body, how to get back into balance. Thank you. It looks like we got a call that did come in. Join that caller at 212-209-2950. We do have some volunteers standing by, and we need to have some calls so that we can move on with the program. Dr. Ali is an incredible scientist and a doctor, and he's going to really be educating you this evening on understanding the technology of being a human being. Because when you think about it, in some ways a body is like a piece of technology. It's like a computer in one sense. But we have to know how to keep that computer healthy, keep all the viruses out, keep, you know, the wheels greased so that they operate properly, understand how we can get out of balance and what we can do to bring our life back into balance. This is what we're offering you for your pledge of $95. You can choose the DVD on adrenal or the DVD on thyroid Hashimoto, or get the pair. I mean, you could imagine how much this is going to save in the long run by understanding how to organize your life in such a way that, first of all, you can prevent this in a holistic, healthy way. But also, it teaches you how to monitor your doctors, how to understand the tests that they give you, how to put those tests into context. And these DVDs, I think they must be about 2 hours long. Close to 2 hours long each one. And they're really good because, you know, Dr. Ali will give you an introduction, and then he'll stop and he'll outline things for you.
And show you pictures.
And then he shows you pictures of the cells.
Normal glands.
He'll tell you,
abnormal glands.
Tests. And so it really is an education beyond what most MDs get in medical school at the level of understanding this integrative medicine, you know, and
you know, that may seem like some people might say, Kathy, just what you just said, your statement, they would say, oh, come on, be serious. You're saying that you will get better education than medical school. But in reality, what you said is absolutely true. They will get in medical school the traditional view, but they will not. In medical school, they don't teach you how thyroid integrates with adrenal. All these years, this is one of the astonishing things, and this is because once you start thinking holistically and acting integratively, everything changes. One thing that I want to tell our listeners is, you are going to have fun. If you get these two DVDs, or one of them, you are going to have fun. You are going to have a house call from me, which is about 1 hour and 50 minutes. And you can always push the pause key. You can look at the graphs. You can look at the tables. You can look at the citations. You can go back. You can go forward. You can give it to a friend who might have the same problem. This is a gift of understanding which keeps giving. So in reality, those people who might say, Kathy, come on, you cannot get on a radio or a DVD better education than in medical school. My answer is absolutely you can. I just gave them an example of how an endocrinologist on the staff of NYU never bothered to trend it. In fact, there could be something you could have said that he would have called me and he said, you know, this patient, she's a very intelligent woman. What is it that you do? When you give her, she feels better. When I take it off according to our standards, she doesn't feel well. Can you help me understand? And I would have said, there are two things I'm following. I'm trending the TSH, and I'm also very open listening to her. I'm not dismissing her words. I think when a physician encounters this situation that he has not seen optimal results, and another practitioner does, there's a wonderful opportunity for that first doctor to call the second doctor and say, help me understand what you're doing. Okay? I mean, it's good for business. It's good for the patient. Mm-hmm. It's, medicine was supposed to be a calling. Doctors are supposed to be advocates of the patient. But, sir, ma'am, I want to talk to you. We really need some calls.
But I think part of the problem, though, is that it may be good for the business of medicine in terms of being
a
doctor. But it's not good for the business in terms of how much money you're going to make when you start relying upon these pharmaceuticals. And not even to blame the doctor, it's the pharmaceutical industries that are essentially paying for the education and determining the curriculum in the school. So, you know, it's like we're really working against, talk about trending, a real trend towards manipulation within
you're
the education
so right.
system.
Kathy, you're so right.
And so this is an opportunity for us not only to help people heal, but to help change these trends so that the whole medical system, you know, there needs to be an impact on the medical system because it's not working. It's all about money, and it's not working. And this $95 that we're asking for is a way for people to you know, at you know, if once one has one of these diseases, could be spending thousands and thousands of dollars
and
not getting better.
And the suffering.
And this is, you know, because it's providing you the information at the base level, you can save yourself so much more suffering for this $95 pledge to WBAI. And you benefit, and then BAI benefits because this radio station also has an opportunity to stay healthy. I'm sorry, I interrupted
you. No, this is very
know.
Important. Kathy, look, you're making some very important points. Mm-hmm. What we need above all is thought reform. You know, we keep talking about health insurance reform. Mm-hmm. We're talking about reforming the Medicare. It is safe for me to predict here that in 7 to 10 years, if not sooner, Medicare is going to be degraded to the level of Medicaid. This is an illusion that government can solve. Government can help us when we are acutely ill, and government ought to be responsible. Society has to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. When you're acutely ill, you have a heart attack, you need to have amputation of your leg, you need cancer surgery, trauma. But when you're talking about early front end of the problem, not the tail end of the problem, we are wasting enormous amounts of money on the tail end. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of studies out there which are showing that Medicare people, you know, it's the last 2 years that takes most of the money. Almost 85% of the total Medicare spending goes actually into the last 2 years of life.
And if we were paying attention to this front end, the money wouldn't be being spent at the end of it. People would be having vital lives as they get older.
That's right.
Instead of succumbing to these diseases. And seriously, much of the disease people suffer from are the side effects of drugs. I've had so much personal experience with members of my family where I've seen them either get really sick or turn for the worse because of the impact of the drugs that people are getting. I mean, and the core cause of the disease never, ever, ever really being addressed. So the condition persists. The drugs come in, hide the symptoms, or maybe relieve some of the more grievous symptoms, but they never really correct the underlying problem.
Because the drugs block. You know, drugs are not enabling agents. Drugs are, all of them, beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, acid blockers, statin drugs block crucial enzymes in the liver. The whole field of pharmacology is designed for acute illness where it does save lives. But the very idea that you're going to use a synthetic drug to preserve health or reverse disease is fundamentally flawed. You know, we've raised generation of doctors who think that if you don't use a drug or a surgical procedure, that's not scientific medicine. And that's where the poisoning begins. Now, there's a new report that Europeans are going to ban 250 of the most commonly prescribed herbs that people either do it on their own or they have family tradition, somebody in the mm-hmm. family does it. Now, you can see what you were saying about that the overall, this overarching sense that we should drug people and make them dumb mm-hmm. and that's how we can control them. That's not conspiracy theory. You can trend the last 50 years. We are being told that 22% of our 4-year-olds are obese. We are told that 1 out of 7 children is in a developmental, mm-hmm. you know, difficult challenge classes. We are told that hypertension is growing in children. We are told that now you can expect breast cancer in teenagers. I have seen that. We are told that you can expect prostate cancer in people in their late 30s. I have seen that. These are the things 40, 50 years ago were exceedingly rare, and they become more and more common. Now, what role does thyroid and adrenal have to play in us? Everything. It's just that you need to, you know, you need to understand how evolution designed the bowel and then the liver and then the blood and then on top of that, the thyroid, adrenal. Mm-hmm. You know, it occurs to me that since I come from just a fertilized egg myself, which means that my brain cells and muscle cells and the thyroid and the adrenal, they all developed from a single egg, my mom's egg. But there can be a profound insight into that. Every egg which grows into an adult like me repeats the evolutionary story of the last billion years. So it was the primordial cells which developed. And we know that these stem cells can develop every which way we want. So what we want to do is to create those conditions that the stem cells in the thyroid can cause healing of the thyroid. Stem cells in the adrenal. I'm talking about our own stem cells. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about stem cells that are coming from China or Mexico or someplace else. But the greatest stem cell is our mind, mm-hmm. which is capable of exploring new things, new options, new possibilities. WBI, we don't... You know, I tell my patients, every single new patient, I say over and over again, I never promise results. What I do promise is total honesty and best effort. Now, how is it that with our best effort, there are no yellow lines? That puzzles me.
212, let me give out the number again, 212-209-2950. And, you know, this discussion really, I hope, speaks to you who are tuned into this, that we're really talking about... you know, revolutionary science with science, health, and healing. It's not revolutionary because it's brand new. It's revolutionary because it's at the core. It's at the root. It's authentic to understanding our human bodies and how they work and ourselves as full beings of mind, body, spirit, soul, all of that coming together and learning how to live our lives. You know, so we hear all these stories on conspiracy, you know, I think this has to be your next DVD, talking about these trends in terms of the politics of what's happening in the world and dumbing down the people, because we have all the chemicals, not just the drugs. We have the chemicals in the water that we drink. We have the hormones in the food that we eat. You know, a lot of people believe that these planes are putting chemtrails up so that we're breathing in these chemicals, so that there really does seem to be a concerted effort to... by means of chemical toxicity to enslave the human being in some fashion to become a drone, either a worker drone to, you know, to feed into the economic system, whatever you might believe the cause. I'm not really talking about that, but to really scientifically look at the trends of where we were 50 years ago, where we are now. Because when you start talking about these diseases being, you know, encountering people in such a young age, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And it's interesting because it sort of started, I started noticing about 20, 30 years ago that really young men were balding.
Yes.
Going bald. And almost to the point that it's almost commonplace now that young men have lost their hair.
And testosterone.
And so, and it's like, and you know, at first it was men were ashamed of it and were, you know, getting all those hair things in. But now it's so commonplace that nobody even really thinks about it anymore. And that's a trend that has to do with toxicity in the body, I would think. And what you're talking about with children. But when we start saying that, oh, there's going to be breast cancer, you know, women in their 30s and 40s and 20s are going to have breast cancer and men are going to encounter these diseases at very young ages, we really have to look at what's going on and begin to take responsibility for what we're doing in our bodies, but
it's
also
not so hard.
In the world.
Kathy, you know, this is the irony of it, that at some level, it is so simple to understand. You know that idea of a fertilized egg? The whole point of that was that all of this evolved from a very simple design. And layers of complexities are added as mm-hmm. the time goes on. So if we could go reverse this funnel, so to speak, rather than looking from below as it diverges and looking from the trunk of the tree as all the trees and the flowers, start looking backwards from the top of the leaves to down there, and then ask yourself, so I have a thyroid problem. I've been told I have a Hashimoto's disease. I have been told that I have adrenal weakness or adrenal exhaustion. So I want to look back and try to understand where did it come from. You know, it's the I think about these things because I write every single day. I'm addicted to writing. So I cannot escape the fact that back in 1958 when I started my study, there was never an attempt made to go beyond this simple statement. We do not know the cause of Hashimoto's disease. We do not, let me tell our listeners that in this DVD of Hashimoto, I do explain how you develop other forms of thyroiditis. I also explain the links that whether one type of immune cells is found and you call it Hashimoto, or there's a particular type of antibody, antithyroglobulin or peroxidase antibodies, or whether you're looking at lymphocytic thyroiditis or a fibroproliferative thyroiditis. The point is, we have one option, which is my doctor diagnosed this condition as woody thyroiditis. And I said, what's the cause? He says, we don't know. And I said, what's the treatment? He said, here is the prescription for the thyroid hormone. That's where the damage is done. Because that's where there is a wonderful opportunity to ask, but where did it come from? We have brought generations of doctors who are told, lupus, we don't know the cause. How do you treat it? Anti-inflammatory steroids and chemotherapy. Rheumatoid arthritis, what is it? We don't know the cause. How do you treat it? Anti-inflammatory steroids and chemotherapy. Sarcoidosis, we don't know the cause. How do you treat it? Anti-inflammatory steroids and chemotherapy. Goes on and on. Do you know that rheumatologists spend more time these days talking about the side effects of chemotherapy because steroid doesn't work and they use methotrexate and they are using Remicade types of drugs that originally chemotherapy drugs. They are on a large scale using for inflammatory problems. I want to stay focused on the thyroid and adrenal. This is the foundational issue. If you don't understand this, then you can't go to the next step, which is, but what causes it? I spent a lot of time last time we were together mm-hmm. explaining how insulin resistance develops, insulin toxicity develops, and then you have diabetes, pre-diabetes, this and diabetes. Now I want to spend 1 minute, and then
we have to do a station ID, yeah. And then we'll be back and we can continue this conversation. I want to give out the number 212-209-2950 is the number to call. You're listening to a special broadcast of Science, Health, and Healing with Dr. Majid Ali, and we're talking about the foundation that if you can get this under control, then you'll understand where many, many diseases are coming from. We're offering you the DVD Adrenal for a $95 pledge, or you can choose the DVD Hashimoto. That's a $95 pledge. If you really want to be educated about this, you'll pledge for both. 212-209-2950. We'll be back in a moment.
Dear listeners, this is Indra Hardat. There's a great way to support your favorite community radio station, WBAI, and save on your taxes. You can donate your car, your truck, or your motorhome. We'll come pick up your vehicle for free and give you a receipt for your tax donation. It's easy. Just call our representative to find out if your vehicle qualifies at 866-WBAI-CAR. Again, that's 866-WBAI-CAR. Thank you for your continued support.
My name is Dan Ingram, and I'm a WBAI fan. They've always been, you know, the station that kicked butt and the station that said what you're not supposed to say because the people in power don't want to hear it, and I love that. I have to celebrate you, baby.
Hi, this is Alec Baldwin, and you're tuned to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Anything can happen.
Okay. Support WBAI, Peace and Justice Radio in New York.
And you're listening to a special extended broadcast of Science, Health, and Healing with Dr. Majid Ali. You would normally tune in on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 11 p.m. to hear the wisdom of Dr. Majid Ali. And today you have a rare opportunity to learn about the conditions of thyroid disease or Hashimoto's syndrome and adrenals, the role of adrenals. We're offering you a DVD. You can choose either the Hashimoto or the adrenal for your $95 pledge by calling 212-209-2950. I'm Kathy Davis here with Dr. Majid Ali, and we've been having a very fascinating conversation about the fundamentals, how this is really at the root of why other things are going wrong in our body. And I want to turn back to Dr. Ali so he can go back into that discussion.
So thanks for staying with us. Let me see if I can connect low testosterone that Kathy Davis mentioned, hair loss, premature hair loss of young men, the so-called low T state. I suppose that's supposed to be a polite way of saying low testosterone. Can you think of a way in which you could explain why more and more young people have lower and lower testosterone values? I see people with testosterone values of 700, 750. Nearly always these people are in their 70s, sometimes even 80s. Then sometimes I see testosterone values of as low as 85, 120. In young people, in their 30s and 40s. So that's one aspect, so-called puzzle, the low T level syndrome. There's really an easy way to understand this. Last week I'd explained how diabetes is caused by the buildup of grease on the cells. So insulin receptor protein embedded in the cell membrane cannot be moved by the hormone insulin. Insulin is like a crank. Insulin receptor protein is a crankshaft, if you want to visualize that. That's a very useful image because that doesn't take any poetic license. That's exactly what happens. Insulin gently nudges the insulin receptor protein. It transmits a rotary motion to the cell innards, and it activates, awakens, so to speak, a sleuth of these proteins, and some of them carry glucose from outside the cells into the cells, and they aptly are termed glucose transporter proteins. You can apply that model to thyroid dysfunction. You can apply that model to adrenal dysfunction. And of course, you can apply that model to low testosterone. That's the beauty of this, because it not only deepens our understanding, it answers fundamental questions, but then it also creates clear, intelligent designs for reversing them. The thyroid receptor is also a receptor protein embedded in the cell membranes, and thyroid, of course, is the hormone. So in this case, thyroid, T4, acts as the crank, and the thyroid receptor protein acts as a crankshaft. That's true of adrenal glands. So this fundamental problem of buildup of grease caused by again, the same trio, toxic foods, toxic thoughts, toxic environments. In the DVDs, I offer you specific, simple things that you can do. I also offer you suggestion how you can optimize. One of my patients today was telling me that you told me that lecithin and flaxseed was crucial as a part of my breakfast. But I have a little difficulty with the vegetable juice. So what I've done is I take yogurt and I put some almonds in it, and then I put lecithin and flaxseed, and I with a few blueberries. I love that breakfast. I said, that's great. What I would suggest is that don't put almonds every single day. Maybe you can bring some sesame seeds or pumpkin seeds. That's what I mean, that I assure you that you will enjoy these. This is information in an enjoyable format. I dissect these molecular pathways. I break them apart so you can understand how that happens. I saw a diabetic patient and he said, I take a banana for breakfast. I said, why do you do that? He said, my doctor said it has potassium in it. Oh my God. You are going to put so much sugar in your bowel and it's going to feed so many fermenting critters in your body that you're going to have an excess mold toxins, leaky gut state, avalanche of toxic substances from the gut passing through the leaky lining membrane into the blood, literally curdling up your blood, just like one drop of lemon juice turns milk sour. These are simple things. You can take a drop of blood and put it under a microscope and you can see that. Or you can just Google, and there are hundreds of pictures that I have posted on the website. If you just Google the word microclots in circulating blood, you'll probably get there, or you can add my name, ALI. So this imagery that I offer you is not just a poetic license. It is based on actual observations. Thanks very much for that solo caller. Please join us. Be part. Have some fun. Learn the thyroid, learn the adrenal, and have some fun. You may find out that by learning this thyroid and adrenal materials, you're beginning for the first time. You might have some eureka moments. So now I understand why I was gaining weight. There was no change in my diet, but I was gaining weight. Now I understand that when I took some precautions, took gluten out, took sugar out, I didn't have to adjust the thyroid dose so much. Now I understand that, yes, thyroid was slightly overactive, but a bigger problem was there was too much adrenaline. I was hyperventilating. This was pushing it out. I wasn't sleeping well. That meant more cortisol during the night, more insulin. I was insulin toxic. Once I understood that, addressed the insulin toxicity issue, lo and behold, the thyroid settles down. Or you may find out, there is an article if you want to Google, put cholesterol, put hypothyroid, and put my name, Ali, and you'll get to that article. The best way to access my articles on web is, if you put my name, ALI, put the word oxygen. And then if you want to look at thyroid or adrenal or Hashimoto's or low testosterone, that's the easiest way. Usually my articles will be there on the top on the Google search. But once you understand this crankshaft model of hormonal dysfunction, it applies to your ovaries. Your daughter is 35-year-old. She has one child. Now she wants to have some more family, and the doctor says you have polycystic ovary. That doctor is ignorant. He's prescribing metformin for your daughter. What she has is hormonal dysfunction. She is not ovulating properly. That's causing buildup of more and more estrogens, more and more testosterone, more and more insulin. And the answer there is detoxify. Unknown to you, if you decide to detoxify because of your thyroid problems, Hashimoto's, or adrenal deficit. You know, sometimes we physicians get credit where we really don't deserve. So there was a there's a young woman, and I used to care for her for problems of fatigue, fibromyalgia several years ago. And then I saw her after about 2 years, she got married. And husband was with her, and they said, well, we're going to infertility clinics. And she is getting some of this fibromyalgia relapse. So I gave her a little program, and the purpose was to clean up the bowel and the